We are in the 10th episode of From Ganga to Himalaya, and today with me is Rewa Kher, which is the former reporter in Republic TV, and now she's in public relation in the consul in the Israeli consul in Mumbai. And we want to talk about Kashmir files, but not exactly the Kashmir files, but on Kashmir Pandits. You are familiar with few families that escaped from Kashmir, right, Rewa?
Absolutely, yes.
So now, where do they live, those families?
So now I would like to say this that I would stay in Punjab for my schooling. My when I was younger, 90s kid. So I had several friends who had escaped and migrated from Kashmir. We didn't know that at that point of time that it was an exodus and. Because of all the cruelty that we witnessed, because of the awareness created by the film, we came to know now. But I kept in contact and in touch with all of my friends who studied in the same school that I went in Punjab. And from then I realized, oh, this has happened. So now, after the movie that got released, I began to be in touch with them and I realized of what kind of experience that they and their family had to go through. So when they came to know that, I'm a reporter and I'm seeking more stories like these, they were a bit hesitant to even come out in the open. They wanted to keep their identity anonymous. So, but I'm telling you that from good, pretty solid sources, that Kashmiri Pandits and the Exodus and all those traumatic experiences were much of like real. Very clear.
Well, I didn't mean to start from that, but I'll go with the flow. First, as you said, those families did not want to speak for themselves, so we're speaking from like second source, but it's like you are familiar with them. And yes, a thing that really interests me that now, like 30 years after the exodus of the Kashmir Pandits from Kashmir, only now a lot of like Indians becoming aware or acknowledge with that part of history, and like it was like some breaking news for them that it happened. How do you explain that a lot of Indians did not know about this chapter on the Indian history?
I think it was mainly through the newspapers, some of them did make it to the headlines, some of them did not make it to the headlines. I mean, when you look at the movie The Kashmir Files as a whole, it's based on a reality, The lead, by Krishna Pandit, he is like real life person called as Himanshu Ganju, if I'm not wrong, and he was informed by his extended family of how his parents died and what was the story, and then he researched about all those papers, and that's how slowly through what only it's only after the rehabilitation of the Kashmiri Pandits, the Hindus who were a part of this exodus. When they came and achieved a little bit of stability after 10, 20 years of their existence, after that trauma period of their lives, they started spreading awareness about it. And that is why I think because of less awareness, no social media, and corruption and government hiding it sort and calling it a propaganda to not damage foreign relations with neighboring countries or so. I think under that pressure, we got to know about this pretty late, unfortunately.
Yeah, and a lot of people thinks, especially abroad, that the reason why this film is created from the first place is because of the BJP ruling that it's like a right hand with agenda movie, which is motivated by an intention to blackface the Muslim in the country. But you're saying that it's like personal experience that the creator of the movie, okay, Yeah,
Yes.
continue.
So before that, I would like to highlight and give credit to the director, Vivek Agnihotri, who has done a stupendous amount of research. This is not the first time that he has made a movie like this, an experimental movie, if it be so. He's made a movie on Tashkent Files, and I think a research movie is his forte. So this what do I say? This topic has been a controversial topic for the government, sitting in opposition outside or ruling parties. Some of them plainly denied it. Some of them said that this was the good, reality that happened. And this movie actually, because it had done so well of a research, okay, it refuted the claims made by the then sitting government. So just to, create more conflict and controversy out of it, people are calling it as an agenda. I mean, it is unfair to call the real life experiences and align it with a propaganda before like narrative propaganda or agenda. It's quite insensitive.
Yeah,
So, you know.
no, I agree, but I'm saying people are wondering about the timing. How is it came up only now? They claim.
I will tell you why. I will tell you why. Because the lobby in the Congress party has ruled for more than 30 years in the country, and they have not let any other party govern. I mean, even in Kashmir, the referendum, the plebiscite, or any kind of elections, they were not held within time frame because of the constant militancy. In 1999, we had a war, and with Pakistan. So there were no regular timing of any elections conducted. And so a very strong lobby came up from there, which sort of, I would say, captured one of the topmost institutions and even Bollywood. Bollywood is filled with an idea of like every BJP party or a right-wing party is Islamophobic, which is not the true sense at all. It is a narrative that it is actually mostly the allegations that they perpetuate by making movies, by making ads or anything that inflicts or claims that the right-wing party, oh, you're associated with that, that must mean that you're Islamophobic. So they became quite strong after 90s, early 2000s, and it's only now that people have realized that, oh, this was all like a part of a big game.
So,
So,
well, what you are saying is that, for the contrary, that only now there is a legitimacy or like a more acceptance to the idea that you could tell such a story and not be perceived as like as Islamophobic or I don't know with right wing agenda. Okay, I want to ask you about. I want to really hear like the personal story of those family. So in 1987, there was election, and then the Congress changed the governor and tried to to play in the local politics of Kashmir. And it ended in the 90s that it became like riots in Kashmir, and the pandits were forced or felt that they need to escape from Kashmir. So,
True.
from what you heard about from those family, I really want to understand. I mean, like there was
I
like
will tell
a
you the example of his family. They were actually not based in Kashmir, but in Jammu, in a village called as Patni Top. Now, when the militancy was at all-time high, and the call of Ghalib Ghalib and had been taken, that is to either convert to accept Islam or you die. You leave your religion, you get converted, or you die. That was like their call. When that was made, all the families decided to starting to get migrated. And there was this particular family, that my friend's family. He said that overnight from Patni Top to I think Punjab was more than 400 kilometers. They had actually traveled, hiding in ambulances overnight and covered a very far distance with whatever they had left, jewelry, the scattered clothes. Some were even picked up. I remember that they were not, they didn't ha had like lot of they had a lot of property left behind, and they could not convert those assets in that point of time. The bank systems were not that
Yes.
great. Now we use GPay and everything, so a lot of money was left behind, a lot of ancestral property was left behind, a lot of losses they had to face and undergo. And that particular family had to begin everything from scratch. It was
Yeah.
like a well-known, renowned business family, and starting everything from the scratch because they were not belonging to any particular region, religion. I mean,
Yeah,
it was very hard for them.
I want to ask you, but things that are not clear for me as a foreigner. Like Kashmir is
Yeah.
like a sovereign part of India. How come that the government at that time did not interfere and try to prevent the escape of those civilians? I mean, where were the army, the police? How it even happened that people forced to escape from their houses?
I will tell you. There was a Air Force officer. He was even shot down in the movie. That's actually a real life incident. It's
Okay.
actually I will and also one of the main reasons is Article 370, which give them the they could have
Autonomy.
their own constitution. Yes, they could have their own flag, they could have their own rules, their own. Only the supervision of having an election was the part that India could interfere or take regularize take into account.
Okay.
So we didn't have that Article 370 removed at that point. And whatever the entire lobby system was reporting to us, it felt like the government was the oppressor, but they made the government and they were oppressing people. So how would you expect an oppressing government accepting the fact that they are oppressing the people, So things were not properly reported. It's only after 20 years, after 2014, things started to change when a right wing came and they did carried out a proper research,
So what you're saying that central government did not know in real time what was happening in Kashmir?
They knew they chose not to act upon it because Article 370 did not give them constitutionally the powers to do so. And UPA government was a coalition government, so even if they drafted a solution for the Kashmir exodus problem, they still could not put it in effect because there were like a lot of sticks in that government. So
okay,
this is one of the main factors that this government had. It's a totalitarian in today's government, so they are able to take a proper action about it.
Okay, now you are saying and also in the movie it seemed like there was like militants and like people who were minority people who came from Pakistan or even local Muslim Kashmirs that have like really radical a view on Kashmir that they want to bring it back maybe to Pakistan or to make like a Muslim country. It doesn't matter, but what it means like there was a majority of Muslim itself that lived in Kashmir that did not choose this militant way. So where were they when all the people that it's perceived to say like minority made like their like terrorism in a way that to fear people? I mean, where were they when their neighbors left? I mean, if you say that like it only were the militants.
In the movie, when you see there was this person who gets shot, and the wife of that person is get to made to eat the blood-soaked rice. The actual story, as it goes, was that it was actually the person, the neighbor, who happened to be also Muslim, who had informed the terrorist about this. So, the hidden part of that victim. So I believe that.
But what you know, sorry for interrupt you, but what you know from your friends, what did they say about their local neighbors? Where were they when all these things happened?
Half of the population was busy, you know, trying to save themselves. Half of them were converted. Half of them were like spreading the information and securing themselves, basically. In crisis times like these, I think they were busy trying to get the best deal out for themselves. They were fending for themselves. I mean, it was just plain simple. Either you convert, you leave, or you die. It was that simple. When we are talking of Kashmir files particularly, we are talking of a Holocaust. And at that point, the person who goes, undergoes that, it's difficult to even imagine at the same time a question of what other people were doing. It's always about survival. It's how you come out of it. There are so many families that did not make it out alive because somebody informed on them, some of them backstabbed them. And in fact, there is a public interview, if I may say so. You can also research it. There's a terrorist by the name of Bitta Karate who admitted that, you know, he shot his comrade, his Hindu friend, or even his Muslim friend, or he would shoot anybody, rather, who would stop him from his agenda. It's a public interview. I will share you the link. He's downwriting, you know, admitting the fact. So if a terrorist is, you know, point blank saying these things on television, imagine the fear that it would create in ripple and waves. I don't think it would be a possible situation.
Okay, so about the things that people were killed, the official numbers is talking about no more than 100 civilians that were killed. So I mean, and from the other hand, it like presented like it's kind of disaster. But it seems like maybe it was like in small scale, and people like felt like unsafe and escape. Maybe in reality it wasn't that that dangerous for them to stay in Kashmir, because from the numbers it doesn't seem like a catastrophe. I mean, okay, not more than 100 people were killed, so what's all the fuss about?
See, the number game, the tragedy, and the people who have left in time and survived to tell the stories, to quantify them, and quantify the pain by looking at a government figure, which was not even authentic, as you may say, because of the protected right of the Article 370, is not fair. A genocide or a Holocaust it should not be based on the number of how many people got killed. It's about the sentiment and the regional diversity being suppressed and oppressed because of the religion that they belong to, and which I believe did happen.
Okay, I accept what you said, what you are saying about the numbers. Of course, it's not my personal opinion. It's just like, you know, I'm asking for a complete outsider point of view. It's not like it's my thought or anything like that. And also, there is like a thing that now the BJP government is trying. I don't know if to say to fix, but maybe to compensate those people who escaped from Kashmir. And like they're giving them monthly support of I don't know, allowance, yes. And like still, I understand, and I would like again to hear from your personal experience that they have like financial difficulties to find job, to find place, like but those allowances are not enough for them to make living.
Yeah, so a month back, the minute the movie released and generated some controversies later on, you know, I was working for the Republic Media Network and we came across certain stories, real life stories. Like after the Exodus, I think they've completed successfully 20 years, I think, 94, right? It
Yes.
happened on 20th January 1994. So,
more than 30 years.
yeah. So once we finished that, we came across certain stories where Kashmiri Pandits were now in the process after the BJP government came over. Again, it took them a complete one tenure to reach to 2019 to scrap up Article 370, which actually gave free powers for the central government to rehabilitate the Kashmiri Pandits who had been, you know, forced to leave their ancestral properties and their land, and to be able to help them to claim it all back. Now, amidst all these processes, now there have been again some targeted killings of, say, a teacher who taught. I think her name was Balu. She was a Kashmiri Pandit. She stayed in the valley and she had come back after the Exodus, after her family had left in the early 90s during a high militancy point. And she had come back to teach as a government teacher. She was shot dead. Okay. And
yes.
Several other people who were working for the Prime Minister's scheme and reaching out to people and spreading awareness about their rights and everything under the Pradhan Mantri Yojana, even that person was shot dead. And I had personally covered these stories while I was doing research and building up packages to air them on the springtime. So here's what they said. Even if the government is reaching out to the people and rehabilitating them, the traces of the exodus are still visible. There are still some groups active, and our military operations, our intelligence, our police, and they are literally, if there is any sort of loophole that's been left behind, it's been targeting the targeting operations, and that they have a system mechanism put in place for that. Immediately they take action.
Yeah, now you spoke about another aspect of the compensation to Kashmir Pandits, which the government now want to assist them to go back to Kashmir, or maybe to work in them, and they give them like the support. And what you're saying, it's like it's not really working because people are in real life danger. So what you're saying is, so it's not big success, this plan.
They could have more, like the famous terrorist that they portrayed, Bitta Karate, his wife was serving Kashmiri administration, and she was like recently she was removed from her position this year.
Okay. I'm saying that like people consider it to go there, or like they feel like it's too dangerous even to consider that option.
There are mixed feelings. Some of them are working with the current central administration. They get the security done, but for locals it's a little difficult. Local Hindi speaking population from the pundits, it's difficult for them.
Okay. So you're saying that you were in Kashmir and you covered the murder of that teacher who came back to Kashmir and got murdered. So how you...
I was writing the stories in the studio.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I was not physically there in Kashmir. I was writing the story. I was writing the stories and forming the stories with my input bureau chief was giving it to me.
Okay, I understand. Okay, so I want to ask you one more thing about about the Kashmir Pandits. Why they are not like talking in public about their tragedy? I mean, do they like a fear that if they will expose, like they were in danger, or they don't want like to talk about some about their wounds, like it's for
They
them too
don't. They
painful.
really don't. The terror was so awful and so high at that point of time, I think they wanted to get it. We have actors like Anupam Kher and his mother who keeps on, reminding and sharing some anecdotes on Twitter. It was very difficult there for them to open up then. It is going to be difficult now.
I see. I
This
see.
is a good thing.
Okay, another thing that I want to ask you is like all the thing that rose for the public awareness beside the movie itself was the remark of our like Israeli director Nadav Lapid.
Director.
This was like that he was the head of the jury in the Goa Festival. And he described the movie as vulgar and propaganda. A thing that I don't understand and is how like not how come it was like got so like
Backlash.
black yeah backlash from the Indian press and the Indian people and they. Started to doubt like our Holocaust or something like that. I mean, it's okay, and I think it's legit that people maybe like the movie, and other people will see it like not good enough to say that he's I don't know vulgar. I mean, it's opinion. It doesn't like.
Yes. So I would like to say this. The Indian audiences, there are like two perceptions to his propaganda comments.
Okay.
First is that the absolute denial by the Nadav Lafit that Holocaust didn't happen. The film is a trash. And the second is the actual constructive criticism part of it. Now, India as a audience, we are not familiar with we don't generally accept the criticism of a movie that has left a very big impact as a society. So it's like, so that's why we tend to interpret and, accept that Nadav meant that it is a propaganda movie and this movie is a lie. That's why, that makes them attack the Jewish Holocaust or even say things on Twitter or social media that the Holocaust didn't happen. Now, the constructive criticism culture is not accepted that easily in the society of ours. It is one of the reasons that, Bollywood doesn't improve. I think that was the main reason. I personally don't vouch for what he said, but yes, the movie was a bit, I mean, it was too extreme for even Indian audiences. It was very gory in nature. But I do not agree with calling it as a propaganda. Constructive criticism is agreed. Like, you can tell that the cinematography was like really bad, the dialogues were written poorly, the music did not match, or the actors and actresses. I mean, this kind of criticism is like acceptable still, but calling the entire concept as a propaganda leaves you to open threads of, multiple interpretations by the audiences. That's why this backlash happened. And saying that at an award ceremony is again questionable timing also, because the right wing allegedly, accused all Nadav to be a part of a toolkit gang or an activist, Nulandivi as we call them here. Why him? Because after he tweeted, all the left and the liberals, even they started commenting on Kashmir Files. Some of them not had even, watched the movie. So that was the thing.
Yeah, in interviews after his remarks, he said that he only criticized like the artistic view of the movie and not like his content or something.
Like I said,
Yes.
since he did not clarify his remark left was left open to a lot of interpretation, which caused RCG to go meet Anupam and release a joint statement also. So, you know, he should have been a little more careful, and he should have been sure about his expression of his criticism, not in the award show, for you know. You cannot comment like that.
Still, I feel like there is like a not a, like a sufficient like space and air for like other opinions to be like. I mean, it's definitely a tragedy and human tragedy of the exodus of the Kashmir, and also the current tragedy that they could basically and practically could not cannot go back to Kashmir. But it seems like the audience and the Indian people does not agree to even hear like people who think otherwise in that subject. They could not observe it. It seems like even that they could not observe that even a kind this kind of an opinion is exist.
I think you know, I will tell you two sides of it. Supreme Court recently said that I mean, despite that the dastardly genocide that did took place, you know, the current benches of the Supreme Court made a statement like we cannot look into the rehabilitation or giving the rights to or justice to Kashmiri Pandits because of lack of evidences. It was like a big, what do I say, a big jolt to the respondents of the, you know, petitioners who had filed for their mere rights, which they had lost. So imagine that we have to start the battle from here. How would you go from, you know, expressing everything or remembering and recalling all of it? They can't even get the basics right. So this is like a legal, you know, problem that they have been facing. And for them, like, there's no now point than to look forward and come out of it. So here is my, you know, take on it that, okay, it's up to them.
I understand. To other cases, like it brought to violence between Muslim and Hindu. I hope that this movie will not create this kind of energy.
I can say this, that if the movie is open to constructive criticism, it should also be open to its views and what message it is actually trying to portray. It should be taken with the right spirit, else it will just be, you know, all division, no unity, and it will just be catastrophic. We don't want that again to happen.
Yes, I hope also that it will bring the awareness that these things should not happen, and also like to remember history, because it's like part of who we are always. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Riwa. It was really interesting to hear you, to hear from your experience, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Thank you very much. Bye.